Matthew chapter 16. You can close that door for me, sir. And I'm going to jump over to Ephesians 4. Hopefully I get there tonight sometime. But I don't want us to ever forget the foundation of church. And the foundation of church is Jesus Christ and what he said to us about the church and what he said to us about us and the church, who we are as the church. Never want us to forget that. It is very easy, and we do this a lot over time. Even the disciples did it when Jesus left. When Jesus left and said, and he started telling them, now, the works I'm going to do, you also go preach the gospel to the world. And he said, I'm going to my Father. And some kind of way they forgot. And I think this is where organized religion began. They begin to try to organize, and organization is not bad. Being organized is not a bad thing. But sometimes you can over-organize and organize the organism right out. You can organize so much that you forget what the original will was. And before you know it, you're doing a bunch of things that you come up with and different cool ideas and good ideas, and then before you know it, you're eating off the tree and you don't know it. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? And so you cannot forget the life of everything or the purpose of everything is always at the root. Remember Jesus cursed that fig tree? Yeah. He didn't curse it from the fruit. He cursed it from the roots. And so if you ever want to find the origin or the purpose or why things should be, you always have to go to the root of it so you'll know how to grow properly. You get it? So I don't want us to forget this. Matthew chapter 16. I think we'll get over in Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll talk about walking worthy of vocation you're called and apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and the purpose of that in the church. But if we can get all of that, and I think this is what has happened in the modern day church, we got all of that down. We got all the preacher stuff down. We got all the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s down. And then we forgot the one thing that's needful. Once again, I said it last week and I'll say it again. I was able to say it in Bible study last night, that the one thing we left out of the equation is us, right? We've done everything right. Haven't you done everything right? You still didn't see what you were supposed to see, or you still didn't get the results you're supposed to get? It's because you left somebody out. You've been asking the Lord to do something that you are the Lord to do, right? You've been asking him to come through and move a mountain when he never said he'd move mountains. Not one time did he say he'd move them for you. He said, you'll do it. He said, if you have faith, grain of mustard, you'll say to this mountain, be thou moved, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. See, it's including you. The organization, I'll say it again, the organization, as well as it is needed, does not operate properly without the organism, and you are the organism. You are the organ. Say, I am the organ. Come on, say it again. Say, I am the organ. One more time, say, I am the organ. Without you, it don't work. Right? Without you, you can't even have a right concept. You ever hear people talking about church hurt? You ever hear somebody talking about they've been hurt by the church? And church hurt? Well, that's all because people hadn't involved their own selves. And somewhere along the line, they've been trying to get something out of something without another human touch. Or the organization has been trying to give something to a person from an organization, not an organ. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus makes a statement. He said, the letter itself killeth, but the spirit gives life. Right? So in other words, the letter can't give no life because it ain't got no life. The letter ain't life. So it can't give nothing that it ain't. But where's the life? Inside of you. And so now, instead of expecting the organization to fix somebody, right, or to show somebody who they really are, it doesn't take the organization, it takes the organ. But we've been leaving the organ out. Well, leave your organs out. No, let's do it tomorrow. Come on. Tomorrow, let's go do everything we're going to do. You got the structure. Huh? You got the structure of your body, your feet, everything going to be there. Just leave your organs out. Just say, I'm going to leave them on the bed today. And we'll see how they work out for you. Huh? Even you leave a couple of them out. You say, I'm going to bring these, but I ain't going to bring these. It's not going to fare well for us. That's how they say it. It's not going to work out well because the organ is the thing that makes it functional. I had a situation today, and I put it on my Instagram, did a little talk about, but I was opening a gate with a little, you know, the little gate button, and when I grabbed it, I mean, literally, as soon as I grabbed it, it just shattered. The bottom part came off, the top part came off, and I saw all the inside. I mean, even they had the chip, the little board with the chips on the inside, came was hanging out of it. And, you know, right quick, you know, the Lord, if you pay attention, the Lord will give you a lesson out of anything, if you just pay attention. You know, you don't need to get on your knees and get in the corner from the talk, but he's talking to you all the time. And he told me that the most important stuff is on the inside. We do the cosmetics and we do the buildings and we do all the services and all those things, and those things are good. But what's going on the inside? What's happening with the organs? Are the organs connected? Right? Your organs in your body could even be in there and not connected. They could be there, but just not connected. They could be there, but ain't no blood flowing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Right? They can be there, but there's no life flowing through them. And a lot of times, that's because we're paying attention to the organization more than who we are as the organ, as the organism. Matter of fact, and this, when I'm talking about the church as a whole, but the organization should be teaching you about your organhood. If that makes sense. It should be teaching you who you are as an organ. So we cannot forget the point. So now if we're in Matthew 16. And of course, starting off at verse 13, we'll say Jesus came to Caesarea of Philippi. He actually saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, well, we read that 2 weeks ago. Well, do you have it? Do you really realize you I am? No, let's keep reading. And they said, some said thou art John the Baptist, and Elias, and others, Jeremiah's one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say you that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art rock, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And right here, remember, we talked about mobility last week. The first thing he started talking about was mobility. The first thing he started talking about was movement, not being stationary. The first thing he said was movement, because the gates will not prevail. So now I understand that Jesus' original intention for us is to, number one, know who we were in him and who he is in us, and then to move with it. Everybody say move with it. Move. Come on, say it again. Say move with it. Move. Come on, one more time. Move with it. To know who I am and to know who he is and to know who I am in I am, and then move with that. Not to come and sit down every week to get fed so I can get fat. Not to come down and sit down every week. It's almost funny because we've been in church for a while. Some of us, haven't we? Haven't we? How do we get from being deployed, right, or being activated, how do we get from the concept of Jesus saying, you the rock, and I'm building on you, and you move, to now we're going every week to pay our dues, or to pay our penance, or to prove to God that he important to me this week? How do we get to that concept? It's a little sway, and a little rock, and over years and years and years and years. And the thing is, concepts picked up a whole lot easier back then than it did now. Although there's more information, the concept is very, very hard to pick up for people to keep. So now when somebody said something then, it stuck so much and went years and years and years and years and years until somebody challenges to understand it. So now we went from being activated and knowing that we were supposed to be doing something and being Jesus out in the world and going out and doing what he did, to now we're trying to pay our penance at the temple and save our own soul. How we got over there? Quick question, how we got over there? Just man, coming up with ideas and coming up with different things. And you can come up with so many different ideas that you sway your way and you go all the way off course from what the original. So we cannot forget this, that you rock. Say, I am rock.
I am rock.
We can't forget this. You don't remember the notes. You cannot forget this, that I am the rock he's talking about. And he's building on me, so I can't be brittle. I can't be weak. I can't be broke down. You get what I'm saying? I am the rock that he's building on. We go to all the other things and make sure we do all the other stuff and put all things together, but we got to remember this, that you are rocking upon you, I'm going to build my church. And then move. In verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then he charged his disciples, verse 20, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem. So now here he is. Watch this. I'm going to keep reading. But now here he is. He about to start sharing the secrets with them. This is supposed to be going on. Because now we know who each other are. Right? I know who you are. You know who I am. I told you who you are. You believe me. So now I'm about to tell you what's really going on here. They begin to share that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. Verse 22, find yourself. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. The nerve of Peter. The same Peter now. Everybody say, I got to find myself. Come on, say it again, I got to find myself. Come on, one time, I got to find myself. And you remember now, this is the same Peter that was at the beginning of the church in the book of Acts, all right? Remember now, the Bible is a story about you. All right, so now I don't want you to, and you cannot be biblically selective in reading the process. All right, everything in here ain't all pizza cream. Right? It's really showing you our mess ups and our fix ups. You got to pay attention. Ain't no saint above correction. Amen. I can't hear y'all. Amen. Let me read these scriptures. Ain't no saint above correction. Jesus is the only one that was the express image of the Father. He is the example. Say, he is the example.
He is the example.
So now when we see anybody else, there are places in there where we can be like, oh, I see why not to do that. I don't care who it was. I don't care what prophet it was. Right? I don't care who was called of God. Everybody be called of God, but how many answer? Oh, y'all listen to me. So now this is the same Peter that started the church in the book of Acts. All right, he's the one that was starting. Even Peter, and I don't have time to go through it. We'll go through it in the semester. But even when he started, he didn't want the Gentiles. He didn't want the Gentiles to get it. You see the scripture in there in Acts 6, where they said there grew a murmuring amongst the people that they were neglecting the Greek widows. Although Jesus told them to take care of the widows and the children. They were neglecting them because there was a racism thing there. They still thought that we were only God's chosen people. Sound like what that sound like today? Find yourself. What does it sound like? We got the keys to the kingdom. You got to come through us. You'll come to my church to really get it. Come on. You gotta come and join us. We the gateway to the glory. Right? They didn't want to pass it out. They wanted to hold it in. If you know anything about the history of Jerusalem, Jerusalem wasn't even trying to be involved with anybody else. That's why Jesus come bust all that up. So here we know this Peter now. So we got to know Peter in context here. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me. What? What did he call him? With a big S, right? So he was trying to really say the name and call him Satan, right? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. Now, why are you an offense to me? What's the next part? Read the next part. For thou, go ahead, ready, read. For thou savest not the things that be what? Of God, but what? Those of men. So now you're not really savoring what God's original intention is. You want to keep things the way that they are. You want to keep the rules in place. You want to keep the organized religion in place. And so now you're not savoring the movement. You're savoring the stagnation. Really what Peter is saying is, it's not that Peter didn't understand. Peter was afraid. Now people, we read this fast. Peter was trying to preserve his position. Come on, listen to me now. Because Peter knows right now in Peter's mind, Jesus, I know who Jesus is. You remember Peter had him with in the first moment he had with him on the ship when he was fishing. And he said, I'll follow you everywhere, right? He's going to make you fishermen. Peter had a lot of different experience with him. So Peter, in his mind, still doesn't know that he got some on the inside of him. So Jesus is my ticket to authority. You remember these jokers started asking, who's going to be the best of us? Huh? Remember they started asking, who going to sit on your right hand and your left hand? Can my son, James or John, remember their mama came. Are my son going to be able to sit on your right hand and your left hand? Because they're looking for position. Everybody say position. Position. One of the biggest problems in today's current church is position. Position and possession. I've seen tons of people come through this school looking for. Trying to be a reverend, trying to be a whatever, trying to be this, missing the point. So now Peter sees that, if this happened, if Jesus, because we walk around, we with Jesus. We are Jesus' disciples. You remember disciples start talking about send them away. You remember? Send them away. Don't bother Jesus. Send them away. Why is she pouring that all on you? We could have sold that to the poor. Judas, you liar. You're a thief. He's trying to get it, yeah. They started sending people away. You remember the disciples? Somebody was, the people ain't listening. One city disciple said, you want to call down fire like Elijah? Jesus said, get behind me. You don't know what spirit I come from. I ain't come to kill. I come to bring life. But now we're walking with the Messiah. We done seen his miracles. We know ain't nobody like him. So this is what Jesus is saying to them about dying. And he just said he's going to raise up again. They didn't hear that part. All they heard was going away. So now, the audacity of him, what self-serving and paying attention to man's will first will do is get you to start rebuking Jesus in you. Lord Jesus. The audacity of Peter. In verse 23, to take Jesus and rebuke him and then tell him what his mission is. You'll do the same thing to the Jesus in you. Because the Jesus in you says some things that ain't really self-preserving all the time. But you rebuke him in the name of Jesus. It's got to be the enemy. It's got to be the devil right there. Go a little further. No? Thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24, the Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him what? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Deny himself. Right? And take up what? Now, he didn't say my cross. I used to say, take up my cross. No, he said his cross. That means you get your cross. When I get my cross, we all going up here and die. You'll come after me. You better get ready. Yeah, buddy. And that was a little bit more strict than what we do now. We cool now because we come sit up in class and everything is calm. Ain't nobody bombing nothing over here. Ain't nobody killing you for being a Christian right now. So you cool. But at that time, it's murder on the spot. Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I might have rebuked them too. If been Peter. They talking about they'll murder me. We talk that noise, man. I got to deny himself. Deny who? Now, this is what church looks like. Take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, and we have the hardest problem with this scripture. We have the hardest problem with this scripture. Every time I read the scripture in any kind of service or setting, it gets quiet because it's challenging. And we haven't learned this. And we get to thinking about everything we got. And we think about what we think our life is about. And he said, whoever will save his life shall lose it. That's actually in the flesh. But we see that on the regular. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit, what a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall not come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And the For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This is what I'm saying. Verse 28, verily I say unto you, There be some standing here which shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And I said, well, I don't know what that means. Because I know the Joker died before now. They're not still here. And a lot of times people thought that was talking about the second coming. Don't you know he's coming back? Right? Yes, he wasn't talking about that. Because how would people from 2,000 years ago still be alive till we ain't seen him come back yet? Not in the sky. So what is he saying? He said, there's some that are still here that'll see my way of doing things and see me as them and them as me and see the kingdom, God's way of doing things, and be able to walk in it. They'll see it. And there were those that did. And the disciples even left Jesus when it was time for him to get crucified. You know, none of them were there. Right? None of them were there. You know, Peter denied 3 times. You know, Judas betrayed him. Thomas was doubting him. Find yourself. They all went back to the normal thing they were doing for self-preservation. The reason that they denied him instead of denying themselves is for self-preservation. I say this, and I say this all the time, because if we're in a group and we start a revolt right now with this group in this room, they're going to take all of us out. Or they're going to put all of us down because we're together. Because I got to squash you out because you've been listening to me. Are y'all understanding me? We've been on the same page. So if you take me out but you don't take Brother Ken out, right, the dream still lives on. So they denied that, denying themselves. Then saw Jesus coming back, but still thought that they were going. Jesus talked to them for 40 more days and explained to them what was going on, and they still decided to organize like they wanted to. Power's still there. The presence is still there. The truth is still there. But there were so many things that were cluttering. Still clutter to this day. Right? And I believe that in the process of this all, even in the midst of our organization, because once again I say organization is not bad, but even in the midst of the organization, to understand what we are doing and to understand what we congregate for and to understand what we are being empowered to do from this army base, from this operational base, all right? What we are coming here to do. If the Father is in me, then I'm not coming here to meet him. Can I get an amen? Amen. What spirit is on the inside of you? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Greater is he that is well in you than he that is in the world. The kingdom of God is well in you over and over. The Holy Ghost is in you over and over. It said this over and over and over again. So we didn't come to meet him. But if we don't understand this, we'll be doing it in vain. We came to get ourselves together. It wasn't a goal. You get it? But if I've conditioned that way, then I'll continue that way. If the conditioning has always been for me to come here and get myself right when I come to the house, when will I ever mature? When will I ever be better for somebody else? When will I ever be able to fulfill what God wants me to fulfill out in the world if I got to keep going back over there to get right? It's maturity. Ephesians 4. And I'm going to jump scriptures real quick so I can explain what I'm saying right here, maturity. We're going to be in Ephesians 4 a lot. Verse 11, and we'll start there. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Watch this. Verse 12, for the perfecting. What does perfecting mean? Maturing. What? Maturing. The maturing. And then also perfection or perfect. Inside of perfection and perfect is the word purpose. Maturing for your purpose. Not for your purpose. I gotta change my talk, say, because I gotta the normal way is to try to attain something that's outside of you, but everything is inside. Say everything is inside. So now I'm not maturing for my purpose. I'm maturing as purpose. I am the purpose. Say it.
I am the purpose.
So I'm maturing as the purpose.
I am maturing.
That changes everything, doesn't it? Like, it changes from me doing to being. It changes from me striving. And that's why we've been chasing a revival. And we've been chasing a move. And we've been chasing the outpouring, and you are the outpouring. I poured you out already. Here you go. We're waiting for another move. I've been hearing preachers saying all the time. We're waiting for another move, another revival, another glory. What other glory? What other glory are you waiting on? So it's for the perfecting, right? The maturing of me as purpose. Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, that just means the work of passing out, the work that it takes to pass it out. In other words, you know identity and you pass out identity. Huh? Listen, you know you, then you pass out you. All right? Not you. I am who I am. You remember that? So don't get beside yourself. You know, they don't need more of just Montreal without Christ's nature. That's going to be a problem. You know, people saying, "Boy, I wish I had one more of me." No, I do not. I don't want no more of me's, because this one is enough to keep up with. I'll be talking to this one on the regular. Hey, bro. Get it together, bro. You remember who you are, right? That's no conversation. I don't need another one. We don't need no more. You neither. You don't need no more. You don't need. Well, if I can use one more, no, you don't need no more neither. For the work of the passing out of that identity, that mindset, that concept, that truth of life, passing that out. The work that it takes to do that. And for the edifying, the building up, huh? Of the what? Body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? I am. Yeah, say it. Say, I am. Say, I am the body of Christ. Say it again. Say, I am the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity, and it's talking about maturing again right there, right? But the perfecting of the saints, right? So verse 13 says, so we all come into the unity of the faith. How many of us? How many of us? All of us come to, who is all? So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? They go perfect again. Unto a what? Mature and purposed man. And then it says this. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which means until you've grown to measure up to Christ. The measure and the stature. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Chasing the doctrine. By the sleight of who? That's the same many we're talking about, that you cares for the thing, not of God, but of. This ain't nothing wrong with man, though. Ain't nothing wrong with man except man don't know. See, you know, he's using man. God created man in his image. But man forgot that. Man forgot that he was in the image of God. And so he started making his own image. All right, you know, the children of Israel, we go through the Old Testament. I got time to go there. But you know, you always see them. And every time Moses leave, or every time they leave him alone for by himself, they start making images. They start making golden calves. And start making something to worship. They started making images, started making idols. Because they were looking for some identity. And they didn't know it was them. Slight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, how? May grow up. So look, grow, look, them four words right there. Grow up into him. Say it. Say it again. One more time. Grow up into him in how many? In all things, which is the head, and it makes it specific so you know what you're growing up into, even Christ, that I may grow up into him. See, the point of organized church is to train you to grow up into him and to show you who you are in him. I love all the phrases, and I love all the cool little phrases that we use to get people to come to church. It's a hurting world. The doors of the church are open. And it's a place for a hurting world. And, you know, I like all that. God bless you. Whatever it takes for you to get them in the room. But we really ain't here mending people. We're really telling people who they really are. Are you understanding me? And that we grow up into him, and that we mature into him in all things. This is the purpose of church. This is the purpose of what we're doing on a regular. I even tell you, when you come to different services or different meetings or whatever's going on, understand that you're coming to mature into Christ. Simply that, right? And we've missed that as a whole over all kinds of churches, all kinds of denominations, and we've made it a temple instead of a training place. Remember, this is what this is for. Amen? Amen. You're going to get out. I know this class is short. You're going to get out early tonight. I receive you.